The Volume.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The J-Boy Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet all the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's many reasons why I like using it. I mean, betting on the NFL, they're America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, but I love the fast payouts. I'm huge on that, and you get it as quick as 2 hours. That's tough to find and even harder to beat. The convenience of it, you know, that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of games, whether it's live betting, whether it's betting before the games, you know, the spread, or you're taking the overs, the unders. They make it unbelievably easy to use. And the boosts, the odds, the specials that they run are unbelievable. You get risk-free bets and same-game parlays. You get enhanced odd markets and a ton more. It's just a win-win for everybody. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with the promo code JBOY. That's J-B-O-Y. Let them know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the J-Boy Show. Really appreciate you guys checking us out. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Turn on those notifications as well. Got some more great content coming for you today as we continue to dip into the world of college basketball. As the college football season, even though it never ends, the on-field stuff is tapered off, and now we're looking to the transfer portal, which is absolute madness and will only continue to get crazier. But I want to start with football, and then we're going to get into a question that I don't think enough people are asking of one of the most successful coaches in college basketball, but there's a few caveats and we'll dive into that. But first, we do want to look into the crystal ball. I'm going to do my best Mr. Cleo impression as I use my hands to pretend to have a crystal ball. Looking into next year, who are some sleeper teams? Who are some teams outside of the Alabamas and Georgias and the typical ones we've seen, even including Clemson, even though they were off this past year, that could make a run into what looks like a non-expanded, you blew it, sorry, playoff for 2022. I want to start, guys. Obviously, David Cohn, my brother Blaine, joining us as well from undisclosed locations we can't give out due to super secret clearance, but we'll get into that later. Or we won't, because it's super secret clearance. You'll have to see. That's the best part about it. But there's a few teams that come to mind for me that have the ability, and now in the era of the transfer portal, with really no penalties, whether it be in conference, out of conference, side-by-side conference, the conference that lived down the street that you grew up having a crush on, you can go anywhere now with no penalty. I've got two in mind. All right. And then I'm going to kick it like Rodrigo Blankenship over to Cone and see what he's got going on in that 6'9" noggin of his. But the first one I want to talk about is Texas A&M. I know they're losing some. I know they're coming off a year in which it wasn't fantastic, coming off a year in where it was 2 years ago when I think they should have had a shot at the playoff instead of Notre Dame. But you look at the momentum right now in Aggieland. You look at the recruiting classes, including this past recruiting class that was historic for Texas A&M and what they've been able to do through the portal as well. But what Jimbo has built. The biggest question mark is Haynes King going to be the guy that everybody thinks he's going to be? He was injured last year. It starts up front and it ends with the quarterback. And if you have you have a guy that's able to run and pass like a Haynes King, a guy that's a dual threat, that's a problem, that can extend the play and become what we know he can become, or what a lot of people in a lot of high places think he can become, there is enough tools around him, especially up front for Texas A&M, which we know 2 years ago they were unbelievably dominant on the offensive line, lost a couple guys, had some young guys, have signed some really good players, not only on the offensive line, but on the defensive line as well, with the weapons around them and the momentum they have coming off a year in where they beat Alabama. They do have some key pieces coming back, and they expect to win, and the standard has been raised. I think A&M is a team that could cause problems for the normal teams in the SEC that we've seen, looking at the SEC West included. I know they got to go to Alabama, but Alabama's having to replace a lot, even though they've done a really good job in the portal with Gibbs and Ricks, and we know the way they recruit and the Death Star that Saban has built. But the first team to me is A&M because they're not afraid. That's another thing. Texas A&M is not afraid. They're not afraid of Alabama. They're not going to be out-traveled. They're not going to be out-atmosphered. And now that the playing level talent, when you look on the field with what Jimbo's done in his recruiting classes, is starting to equal the output that the fan base and the administration with the facilities have given them, I think Texas A&M may have a chance to break through. Another team to keep an eye on, because I always like to revert to the easiest path, because you have to look at everything. It's not just one thing. It's a hard path for A&M and the SEC. Duh, we get that. So when you look outside of the SEC, I look at USC and Lincoln Riley. That's who I look at. With Oregon losing Mario Cristobal, I think Lanning was a good hire. It's going to take him a little bit of time to implement his culture and the way he wants to do things and the mindset and kind of the philosophical things that he wants to do there. Meanwhile, Lincoln, they've attacked the transfer portal. You've seen them bringing in guys that are instant stars. Caleb Williams is a guy that could very well end up there. And if he does, with what I believe will be a very weak Pac-12 next year, I mean, tell me a team that really scares you next year out of the Pac-12, I think USC could catch a little lightning in the bottle and get this thing started off right. Another caveat to look at, it will be Lincoln Riley's first year in a new conference. Now, there's a lot of tape on Oklahoma and what you did, but it's different when you're in the game having to coach against it as opposed to knowing the guy and having played against the guy and understanding how he adjusts to the adjustments. There's been a lot of first-year coaches in new conferences. You look at Gus Malzahn in 2013. There's many examples of coaches starting off hot, not only in football but in basketball. Look at Nate Oates and what he did for Alabama early. But you really find out 2, 3, 4 years in. But with the personnel that I think USC can grab from the portal, with a weakened Pac-12, with the cachet that USC has and Lincoln Riley's offensive acumen, I would not be shocked if you saw USC in the top 10, maybe even the top 5, as the year wanes next year. So those are two teams to keep an eye on. I'm not ready to jump on the UCF bandwagon in the Big 12, even though they've got a lot of good transfers. I've seen Gus Malzahn waste more talent than the Globetrotters. So when you look at a team like UCF, Cincinnati's losing a quarterback. Could they get JT Daniels? Who knows? I think they're going to take a step back. Those two teams, USC and Texas A&M, are two teams to really keep an eye on. Cone, what do you think?
Well, let's start by kind of defining what you mean by sleeper. You know, if you mean unranked team who will make the college football playoff like Michigan was able to do this past year, I really don't know if we'll see that again for quite some time until there's a playoff expansion and you move the opportunities up to 8 or 12 or something like that. If we mean by sleeper some non-blue blood programs who have had some, you know, some success and who could continue to have success and maybe make a playoff, I really think Baylor and what they've done under Dave Aranda, they're going to continue to play great football. I really think Utah is going to continue to play great complementary physical football. They dominated Oregon this season, not once, but twice, and really went toe-to-toe to the last minute with Ohio in a fantastic Rose Bowl. And I'm telling you right now, what Mel Tucker is doing at Michigan State is special. He realizes that Michigan State may not be that type of program where you can get top recruits to come to out of high school, but he is showing that you can get top recruits to come there from the transfer portal, and he is dominating that way. And so I really think Mel Tucker and Michigan State could make a playoff during his tenure there. Those are a couple that I think I think if you were to ask me who is one team who would make the playoff this next season who has not made the playoff yet, I would undoubtedly say Texas A&M. I agree with you wholeheartedly that they are due for a playoff appearance. The only problem with the Texas A&Ms and the Ole Misses and the Kentuckys and the Tennessee, some of those programs in the SEC who are really primed for breakout performance, the only problem is that you either have to go through Alabama in the West or you have to go through Georgia in the East. And both of those tasks are equally as tall tasks. So, you know, I don't know. I think that Texas A&M is certainly building something special. They are going to make a playoff under Jimbo Fisher. I really think they could do so this next season. But let's don't forget some of these other schools and other conferences, because Jake, you make a great point when you say never underestimate the path to the playoff and the easiness of the path, because it's so important.
That's exactly right. And Blair, I want to get yours in a second. But you know, you brought up something, Cone, that I think if I had to buy a team for the next 5 years outside of the normal realm, it would be Baylor. Dave Aranda had a chance to leave. He's made the decision he wants to be the guy. And it's brilliant for this reason. Look at the landscape of the Big 12. Texas and Oklahoma are eventually going to be gone. You're adding, you know, UCF and Houston and Cincinnati, which those are good teams, but they don't have the ceiling or the resources or the tradition of a Texas and Oklahoma. So Baylor could really sneak up into that slot of the top tier. It's, you know, Dave Aranda will stack recruiting classes on each other. He will have them unbelievably coached up. He's very meticulous. He doesn't panic. You have some head coaches that are panickers. He is definitely not a panicker. I don't think he says 8 words on the sidelines. I don't know if they're communicating telepathically over there, if they figured that out, but it's amazing to watch his demeanor on the sideline. And Utah, I almost picked them. I know they're losing a decent amount, but is Kyle Whittingham the most underrated coach in college football? There's not one head coach, whether it be from Nick Saban on out, that does not have unbelievable things to say about Kyle Whittingham. And they may benefit more than anybody from Mario leaving Oregon, because Utah can kind of usurp early, whether USC does struggle, which I don't think they will, or Oregon does struggle, which I think is a possibility under Dan's first year. You could see Utah step out to the forefront. That's a great call. I wonder
and
what the
some
odds
of the administrative problems, some of the administrative problems that Arizona State is having, because Herm Edwards had them on a good track. And I tell you, they're one of Arizona State's one of those programs I've been wanting to say for the last year or two that to pick as one of these sleeper types, right? Because I just felt like they've played some games where it's like, man, they can really play football. But unfortunately, they've had some problems in terms of some of the punishments that have come down the pipe. So that Utah's able to benefit from that as well.
And Washington's in flux right now too. I mean, you saw how it went down with Jimmy Lake. They've struggled since they kind of came up on the scene a couple years ago and had been, you know, in a playoff and one of the teams from the Pac-12 you really had to worry about. Blaine, is there some other teams we're missing you think maybe sleepers going into next year?
You know, I really wanted to make this tough on myself to really find someone that maybe be out of the top 10 next year, but a super sleeper. And I'm going to start with the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. All right, you're bringing back Sam Hartman, right, who's an absolute stud in the offensive system. They run, and you saw what they did this year in the ACC. Then you look at Clemson and how Clemson's kind of teetering right now on taking a step down or staying where they are. And the job Dave Clawson's done at Wake Forest has been huge for them. They did lose a running back to South Carolina to the portal, but a running back is something you can replace at Wake Forest. Yeah. And my second team is, and I know this is going to be kind of crazy, but it's Florida and Billy Napier. All right.
Wow.
All right, and I know it takes some time, but Florida's one of those schools. Go back and look. Jim McElwain, first year, what did he do?
AR-15. They got AR-15.
Right.
They got a guy that can do it.
Dan Mullen, first year, what do you do? Win 10 games. And you look at that quarterback position with AR-15. He's an absolute freak. Is he still figuring it out? Yeah, but at some point, he will figure it out. And one thing that Billy Napier has done a phenomenal job of already is recruiting, right? He's already balling at recruiting. Signed 5-star Kamari Wilson, something Dan Mullen couldn't do for years, right? So one thing Billy can do is recruit and motivate his guys. And if you have something, a weapon like AR-15 at quarterback, I mean, you'd have to get through Georgia. But there's one team in the past that can somewhat do it, kind of a kryptonite. Yeah. I would think that's the Florida Gators.
I love the Wake Forest pick. You know, you look at the ACC, like you said, not the strongest. Miami with Mario, you know they're going to be there eventually. You know, Florida State's really interesting to me with Norvell. I think they got to get the right guy at quarterback. But all it takes at Florida State is one good year. Everybody loves the swag. And again, it's good for college football. I want Florida State and Miami to be really good. But I think Wake, with Sam Hartman, a.k.a. the cardiologist, coming back, I think they have a really good chance. You know, he's like kind of a better version of Stetson Bennett. And you bring up Florida. And if you look, the way that Billy Napier handled Levi Lewis and the type of system they can run on offense, it really yields to a quarterback that is dual threat, whether it's the RPO, whether it's the zone read, whether being able to move the pocket. I mean, Billy, and we call him Chill Bill because he's one of the coolest guys in the game. He's going to be great at recruiting. I like the staff he's put around him. They're guys that he believes in. I don't think he was reaching or guessing on guys. He's brought in some guys, you know, that he's known from the NFL coming down to Florida. And Florida, just like Florida State, all you need is a spark. And Florida's up for grabs right now, guys. It's as up for grabs as it was since Bush and Gore went after it in the election. That's the only time it's been more up for grabs. Miami, we'll see how Mario does. He's doing good in recruiting. Florida State, Mike's got to start figuring it out and get some juice there. Still up for grabs. Florida with a new head coach. UCF going to the Big 12, which is going to be really weird in the state of Florida to have a Big 12 team in the state of Florida. I don't know if everybody's really realized kind of the weirdness of that. But who cares about geography, right? The spelling bee was cooler anyway. So I think those are all teams, and there's a couple more we could look, you know, maybe outliers. You start looking more up north. You know, again, I think Michigan State with Mel Tucker, we saw what he did in the portal last year, Cone. We saw what he was able to do, bringing in Kenneth Walker, a guy who had left Wake Forest, which makes you think, what if Wake Forest had Kenneth Walker this past year with Sam Hartman? Which, by the way, Dave Clawson with the delayed zone read RPO that they run, it's very different than what a lot of people do. And it's tougher on the offensive line, but they were able to hold the point. When you watch Wake Forest, watch how they delay that handoff. It is a pure read from the quarterback into the box, outside of the box, reading should he give it, should he keep it, but it takes a lot longer, and it almost changes the timing for the defense. You're used to going fast and fast and fast and fast, but all of a sudden, you're indecisive. You're having to sit there and read whether I'm locking out. You're worried if you get too far upfield, he's going to hand it. You slip underneath. But if the backers say, all right, that's fine, he's upfield, we're going to come down, that's when Sam pulls it and they hit the slant right by you. And I thought Dave did a really good job of evolving that as it went on. It was a base bread and butter play for them, but they were able to add things onto it that really slowed defenses down. How do you slow fast defenses down? You make their eyes slower. You don't let them pin their ears back. You keep them guessing. It's like in school, the test that you knew you had studied for and you knew the questions on the study guide, you breezed right through that. The ones where you didn't, or you weren't prepared, or you were having to really think, it took a lot longer to get through that test. And by the time you get to the fourth quarter, you're so mentally thrown out of balance because you're used to playing at one speed. I think it's a great changeup. I think that's one of the ways you have to do things if you're at a place like Wake. You have to do something a little bit different. It's almost, and this may not be the greatest example, like Army running the triple option and Air Force running their version of it. They have to do that because they have to do it. Now, it's for a little bit of a different reason, but Wake Forest can't get everybody into Wake Forest. That's a very hard school to get in academically. So you do have somewhat of a hand tied behind your back. I think Dave Clawson's a guy that if Wake doesn't watch out and they keep having success the next 2 years, you could see get a big, big, big job coming up. Tell us in the comments, who are your sleeper teams? Who are some teams that you think that we didn't mention? By the way, I'm in love with the Utah call, Cone. I think that may be the best one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm always going to shoot you straight. That was a really good call. But tell us who you think in the comments below, and we'll see who's right as we fast forward this thing back after next year.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay authenticity guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay authenticity guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Introducing DirecTV Stream, the best of live TV and on demand, which means you can get all your favorite sports, movies, and shows together. So you can watch new episodes of your favorite reality shows live or binge old episodes on demand. Either way, get ready for some drama. And the best part? DirecTV Stream has no annual contract. DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together at DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet and compatible device. Content varies by package and location. Restrictions apply.
But I want to transition into some college hoops. We dove into it yesterday, had a blast, had unbelievable feedback on social media. Apparently, y'all want us to keep talking about it. Shout out to our boy Paul B. and Cardi there from ESPN as well. But there's a question, guys, and I don't want everybody to panic when I say this, okay? And Kentucky fans, in reality, this is a compliment, okay? So calm down before I even say this. I know that John Calipari leads all coaches in, what is it, Blaine? NCAA tournament appearances and wins and stuff like that. But he's only got one national championship. So the question is, going into season 13, I believe, is John Calipari underachieved at Kentucky? And I ask that because of this. When you say the word college basketball to me, one of the first at the forefront, at the top of my mind teams that come to my mind is Kentucky. They are one of the most traditionally dominant blue blood of the blue blood basketball teams. Kentucky's a basketball state. You know, if you can't shoot a jump shot in Kentucky by the time you're 11, they deport you. You got to go somewhere else. Like it's like taking the citizenship test. Like you better be able to shoot, because if not, you're gone. They're going to send you somewhere else. But Kentucky just like Alabama in football. And look at Georgia and Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart had a hell of a lot of wins, a ton of wins, a ton of success, a great winning percentage, this, that, and the other. But he hadn't won the big one until now. John Calipari has won one national championship. Kentucky fans, as they should, grade their head coaches, including when you're making $9 million. Blaine, you said it best on the pre-show. You're making more than the governor. They grade you on national championships, not getting to the NCAA tournament, not even really getting to the Final Four. It's winning the national championship. And that one national championship in 2012, who did you have? You had Anthony Davis, who is from some planet we don't even know exists yet that landed here a long time ago. And he was unbelievable. I know they had Kid Gilchrist, unbelievable player as well. But Kentucky has had better teams with better talent. I can go through the list. Look at all the amazing players that have played at Kentucky. Not just one on the roster, but multiple. You can go from Marcus Monk to John Wall. I can go down the list of all the dominant players Kentucky has, and they have only won one natty, and that's because Anthony Davis carried them, no pun intended, on the glass, offensively, defensively, blocking shots, scoring, dribbling the ball up the court, doing things that just normal human beings can't do. He's the closest thing. I know he didn't have the jump shot of Kevin Durant, but the way they were able to take over games at that size, you're seeing a little bit with Jabari Smith now. I mean, Blaine, you've got one national championship in 13 years. If Nick Saban won one national championship in 13 years, he'd be pissed. Alabama fans would be pissed, right? Is Kentucky not the Alabama of college basketball?
No, it is, right? I mean, you compare the talent level of the players that they have, it is, right? And Kentucky, what kind of what you said, is one of the bluest of the blue blood programs in basketball, right? You have the most victories of a basketball team, and you're second in national championships, and you're three away from UCLA, who has 11, and you have 8, right? And you go out, you're getting paid $9.5 million a year in the state of Kentucky, making more than the governor to come out with one national championship because you had an alien land on your campus in Anthony Davis. And you go back and look at it, right? I think Krzyzewski has 10 national championships at Duke. I mean, he's a great coach, but I don't know if you can put him in that elite status with the talent that he's had. And you go back and look at the talent he has. You said John Wall, De'Aaron Fox, the amount of number one
DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins. First round picks you had at the University of Kentucky, and you go and you look at these stats with the most Elite Eights and the most Final Fours and the most Sweet 16s. It almost hurts to look at that and see one championship, right? It almost hurts. And if you're getting paid that type of money and you're that type of program, Alabama doesn't get happy about SEC championships. They might get happy for a second. But what does it matter for Alabama? What do you compare it to? It's national championships. Yeah. And if you're getting paid that amount of money with the talent that you have at that state, you should almost win it every 3-4 years. So in my opinion, I mean, I wouldn't say overrated. I wouldn't say that. But, I mean, I wouldn't put him as an elite coach with those guys, those few elite guys, because at the end of the day.
Would you say he's underachieved? Would you say he's underachieved?
Yes, with the talent he has, I believe he's underachieved. Because in basketball, you base it off national championships, especially if you're Kentucky.
Yeah, and Cone, Blaine brings up a great point. Alabama fans won the SEC championship game, but they view this season as a failure, a lot of them. Why? Because they lost the one that matters most to them. Kentucky's not just trying to make the NCAA tournament. And last year, I know it was a crazy year with COVID and this, that, and the other. They weren't very good at all. You look at the team they have this year. I know Oscar Tshiebwe is getting every rebound that's ever been thrown up, but they're not dominant or elite this year. I don't see them having one of the top five teams in college basketball this year. So at what point do we call out? They haven't won it. This is 10 years. They won it 10 years ago, a decade ago. At what point do we have to start saying, Cone, like, this guy's got to start winning the big one, or you're just a good coach in a elite program? Because Kentucky recruits itself. Calipari's a great recruiter, but I could close my eyes, turn around backwards, and hit a pinata and get 3 5-stars at Kentucky.
Yeah, I broached this topic with some Kentucky basketball fans this weekend, and they made it pretty clear that has John Calipari underachieved given the talent he's had at Kentucky? They said yes. But then they said, do we love him and do we want him to remain the head coach at Kentucky for many years to come? Also, yes. Okay. So they clearly want him to be their leader for the foreseeable future. When we talk about underachieving or overachieving, so much of that has to do with the expectation. And I think you guys are exactly right. I think, Jake, you know, the expectation has to be contending for a national title every single year. And I'm so glad you brought up the parallel with Alabama football. Let's dive a little bit deeper into it, okay? Because when Nick Saban, you know, Alabama has been a blue blood football program before Nick Saban got there. Kentucky has been a blue blood basketball program before John Calipari got there. And they both arrived on campus around the same time, within 3 to 4 years, something like that, right? And so while we can't compare every single situation to what Nick Saban has done at Alabama, not only is he competing for a national championship every year, in many respects, he's winning one. Okay, so with John Calipari in Kentucky, it really breaks down into the tale of two halves. You know, the first six seasons he was at Kentucky, he made four Final Four appearances in five seasons. Four in five seasons with a national championship, a runner-up with a team that wasn't that great, and then not even a championship appearance with maybe what may be the greatest basketball team we've seen, which is the 2015 season, because they lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four. So that team didn't even make it to the championship. But the last, this past six seasons, well, what's happened? What has happened? I mean, if this the past six seasons were similar to his first six, we'd be talking about eight Final Fours, multinational championships. So, look, I think the real question here is, are John Calipari's best days at Kentucky behind him? Because, look, I think that he can go on to win another national title at Kentucky. I really do think he will do that. But I don't think he's going to make four Final Fours in 5 years again. I mean, that was unbelievable and still only yielded one national championship. So given the talent he has had, I do agree with some of the Kentucky fans that I talked to. He has underachieved, but I still think he has another national title in him.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be shocked. You know, the way they recruit, I think the transfer portal now has changed a lot of the dynastic, you know, versions we have seen of college basketball. And look, I know UCLA won like 100 national championships with John Wooden and all that was great. But Kentucky is as up there with anybody over the long term, going all the way back. I mean, to win Bath, they were shooting in the peach basket with, you know, Naismith and the rest of the group. But there's a couple big matchups tonight in the SEC that I want to preview because this conference has been fascinating. Speaking of Kentucky, let's start there. They go to Texas A&M. Guys, Texas A&M is 15-2 and 4-0 in the SEC. But I don't believe in them. I've watched them play. I think Buzz Williams is doing a really good job over there having to turn that program around after kind of what he inherited. And don't forget, A&M was a good basketball team a couple years before it fell off the ship and they had to bring Buzz Williams in from Virginia Tech. A&M is a place that you can win. They host Kentucky in the biggest game they have been in since I can remember, since the last NCAA tournament game that they played. Kentucky's ranked 12th right now in the AP. I'm sure according to Jesse Newell, they're like 35th, but that's neither here nor there. They're ranked 12th in the AP top 25 going to College Station. If A&M wins this one, and I think a lot of A&M fans will agree with me, if A&M wins this one, I will start believing. But I look at the pieces. I think they're playing really, really good basketball right now. I think they're communicating really well. But the ceiling for A&M to me, I mean, they're a seven-point dog at home. Vegas is trying to tell you something. Kentucky just absolutely ran Tennessee out of the gym last Saturday. And the best game they played, shot 70%. At one point in the second half, they were still shooting 78%. Most teams don't have guys that can shoot 78% from the free throw line during the whole season, let alone – from the field. So I do like Kentucky to beat A&M tonight, but if A&M could find a way to win that one, Blaine, I'd start believing them.
Yeah, I mean, I would too, and A&M does a great job, especially is turning the ball over, right? That's A&M's staple. That's what they do. And if you're Kentucky, I just think Kentucky has too much. I think Wheeler and Ty Washington are proven, and what they have at center is proven. And I think A&M's still growing as a team, right? And I think A&M will be an NCAA tournament team. I think they'll only keep getting better, but I look at it right now, right? Kentucky just has too much, and the performance they had against Tennessee, and they're obviously not going to do that again, but I think they're going to shoot the ball extremely well. I think they're going to get to the basket when they want to. I just don't think A&M has enough, and I like Kentucky to cover in this game.
Yeah, I don't think you're crazy there, Blaine. Cone, you know, Shibue, to me, A&M doesn't have an answer for him down low. If he's able to do what he's been able to do and grab 20, 25, even 30 rebounds, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility for this guy, on the offensive glass as well. He can absolutely kill you, and he's developed that jump shot a little bit. Does A&M have an answer for him?
You know, I don't know. It will be interesting to see. I think that on a more macro level, you know, like we were talking about yesterday, Kentucky's down seasons here in the SEC are coming at a very bad time. When we're talking about teams like a Texas A&M can beat you in the regular season, forget about the Auburns and Alabama and Tennessee and LSU. I mean, this is even extending now to teams like Texas A&M. That's why, you know,
Mississippi State, huh?
It is becoming a dominant basketball conference. And I didn't think that I would say that I'm so looking forward to a Kentucky-Texas A&M basketball matchup, but I really am. And then think about this. They have to play Auburn this Saturday, right? And then they still have Kansas before the end of the month. So Kentucky is going to have three opportunities at minimum to show us what they are really all about. And like I said, with that 2014 team, who actually made it further than the 15 team, maybe John Calipari can kind of play that outsider role and can do some damage this March, even though they haven't led even their own conference for much of this season. So that'll be something that's interesting to see. I mean, we think of Kentucky as always coming in kind of like the Dukes and the Kansases of the world, where they come in, they're a top three team in the country, and if it's their year, then they ride it out and they only lose one or two games in their crown national championship. Maybe John Calipari is going to have to figure out other ways to win and get a few more national championships when maybe they're not the best team in the country, or maybe moving forward, not even the favorite team in the SEC.
No, look, I agree. And, you know, speaking about Duke really quickly, they lost another ACC game last night to Florida State. And if you look at the ACC right now, and I don't want to digress too much, Miami is a problem. They are a legit problem. This is a team that didn't have a ton of expectations coming into the season, and they're as hot as anybody in college basketball right now. They went to Duke, beat Duke at Cameron Indoor, and then dismantled North Carolina last night, 85-57. They're playing with a lot of confidence. That's a team that if they stay hot and they keep shooting and playing defense and playing in transition the way that they play, could be a problem. But back to the SEC, the last game I want to talk about, and this is a massive game for each side. LSU goes to Alabama tonight in Coleman Coliseum. Alabama has been one of the most Jekyll and Hyde teams that I've seen in a while. I mean, they go and beat Gonzaga. They beat Houston, even though it was by a point or whatever it was, and then just fall off the wagon. They lose to Iona. They lose to Davidson. You know, they lose at Missouri, even though Missouri looks a lot better. They will miss pretty badly last night. They host LSU. LSU coming off a loss at home in a game where I feel like they should have won against an Arkansas team that was struggling. He seems to be turning around a little bit. LSU's 15-2. Alabama's 11-6. And I was talking with somebody that covers Alabama and specifically Alabama basketball, Cone. And you have, I know that Alabama in your family, you know, Richard Todd's daughters, your wife, I'll make sure I said that right. But when you look at this game, Alabama's 11-6, 2-3 in the SEC. The person I talked to said this is about as close to a must win this early in the season as you're going to get, because they have LSU at home, then they have Missouri at home. I think they have Missouri at home and then Baylor at home. And if they lose this one and they're 11-7 and 2-4 in the SEC, we may not be talking about any Sweet 16. We may be talking about NIT.
Yeah, I know. And I think Alabama fans are a little taken aback right now because they have some great wins this season, but they have some abysmal losses, right? And the one thing that I will say for these teams kind of like Alabama when it comes to college basketball is it hasn't quite yet hit that time to peak. Right. I mean, you always want to be playing the best basketball that you possibly can play. But at the same time, we all understand who have watched this season after season. Right. Late January, early to mid February is really the time when you want to peak, because you need to go on a deeper run than you need to in other sports like football. OK. At the same time, while it may not be the time yet to really peak, you still need to be relevant enough to even make the tournament. So, yes, when you start talking about, is this a must win in late January? Yes, because you want to be in position to even have a peak that is worth something as it comes to the March Madness and the tournament. So, look, Alabama can't drop too many more, especially bad losses.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And this could be one to get them back on track, because, Blaine, they have the guys to do it. Now, I question their front court a little bit. I don't think Betty Yako is super tough down there. He's still figuring out as a young guy. Noah Gurley, as I said yesterday or a couple days ago, is a wing. He is not a post player in the way his game is. He's kind of similar to what they had last year with guys that were able to run the four and shoot the three and extend the defense a little bit on the offensive end. But eventually, if you're Alabama, you start running out of opportunities. And a lot of those big high-level wins will be negated by those losses and playing down your competition. And momentum, we all know it's true in every sport and in life. Momentum is a big part of this. When you look at this game tonight, and I want to get to LSU in a second. Number one, how important is this for Alabama's season and seeding or even a berth in the NCAA tournament? And if Pinson, Xavier Pinson can't play for LSU, how's LSU going to be able to score enough points? Because Bama will score points at home.
Buckle up, Alabama, because it might be the NIT. You don't want to see it, but it might be the NIT. And, you know, I look at this Alabama team, you know, and you got the guys, right? You got the guys, you got the pieces around you, but not an individual hasn't really separated himself on that team and took it to the next level. I still think Davidson is playing timid and not really just kicking the door open and going. Because at the end of the day, someone's going to have to separate themselves, whether that's Quinterly, Shackleford, or J.D. Davidson, to be the difference. Because all three can't be the same guy, right? We know Shackleford, what they do. He hits threes. Quinterly, I think, needs to start doing more when it comes to scoring and start relying on everybody else. Ellis, he's a three guy. That's fine. But I think this all lies within what J.D. Davidson does, because he was their all and end all this year in recruiting. And the kid, I mean, he can dunk on anybody in the league. He can jump out of the gym, and he's only getting better shooting the ball. But this can't be an older guy. Let me take the team because I'll just take it. If you're the, it doesn't matter what year you are. If you're the best player on the team, somewhat take over the game, because at the end of the day, you're seeing that from Alabama, a guy not really taking it to the next step like a Herb Jones or a Petty from last year who showed up day in and day out every game, and you could see that. And you go to LSU, and how much could you lean on Darius Geis this game? He has to be hot this game from outside the inside, the three in the paint, because without Pinterest, if he's not playing, LSU points are going to be hard to come by. And defense travels, but you can only do so much with a front court like Alabama has.
Yeah, and we saw Darius Days struggle against Arkansas at home. He struggled about as much as I've ever seen him struggle. Pinson, again, I don't know if he's out or not tonight yet, so I don't want to scare everybody. But if he is, LSU's really going to struggle to score because Alabama knows how important this game is too. And Blaine, that's a great point as we get close to wrapping here about J.D. Davidson. I mean, he's got a ton of talent. We understand that. But he's had more turnovers than a bakery in downtown New York lately. He's playing a little loose and free with the ball. He tries to force some passes in there that I think he's trying to do too much. And instead of searching for the highlight play, he needs to make the smart play and the safe play. I think he's trying to live up to a guy like what Jabari Smith is doing. You know, there's not a lot of talk that much about J.D. Davidson right now. And going into the year, you know, I thought they were going to elect him governor of the state of Alabama, and he was going to be a top 10 pick and this, that, and the other. But he is really struggling to stay in the flow. And look, it's like that sometimes for young guys. J.D. Davidson's going to be fine. He's got a ton of talent. But the game still hasn't slowed down for him. And defensively, that's the difference to me in Alabama this year and last year. They were shooting the ball a lot better from three. Nate Oates hasn't changed his style of play, but they were not only shooting the ball better from three, when they weren't shooting good, they were winning games with their defense. Alabama, to me, everybody last year talked about their offense and this, that, and the other. To me, what separated them when it came down to it was defense. They're able to kill you in transition. They were good in the transition D. They could D you up when you're running sets offensively against them. They could win in multiple ways. This Alabama team this year has not shown the ability, outside of a few flashes against Gonzaga and Houston at home, that they have the ability to be consistent in every area at the game. Because just like in football, sometimes the offense isn't clicking. Sometimes you got to win games with your defense. You got to win a rock fight. You got to win a field goal battle. You got to win a free throw battle as they continue to struggle there. Cone, am I off base with that?
No, I mean, the absence of Herb Jones is very clear. I mean, anytime you lose a player like him, you're not going to play as good a defense. But what I wanted to ask you quickly before you wrap, I mean, call it right now, Jake. Does Alabama make the tournament, or are they headed for the NIT? And you too, Blaine.
Yeah, I think – Blaine, you go first. You go first.
No, okay, yeah. I think Alabama's heading to the NIT.
Really?
just because of losses that they had. And Jake, it comes back to kind of what you said. You know, man, it's defense. Losing Herb Jones is massive for Alabama. And that ball's not going to go in the basket every game the way you want it to. You're not going to shoot every game the way you want it to. And defense travels. And, you know, the losses they have so it makes you kind of lose it. Think that they could lose most to any team that they play. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think Alabama's going to squeak one out tonight. I think Alabama gets in the tournament as an 8 or a 9 seed. That's where I see them. Because, again, guys, it's hard for SEC teams outside of if you're just a random SEC team that wins the SEC tournament to get like an 11 or a 12 seed or like a 13 seed. Typically, that doesn't happen that way. You look at you know, Lenardi and the bracketology and that right now, I think they have Alabama as a 6 seed. But the biggest thing that Alabama has to watch out for is you start to run out of opportunities. And then you get to the point where it's like, well, we got to win 3 games in the SEC tournament. And it's going to be a log jam when you get to the SEC tournament. This is not going to be there's 4 teams that have won a lot of games and everybody else hasn't won. You're going to have 1, 2, maybe 3. Probably not, but 1 or 2 teams that separate themselves throughout the regular season and then an absolute log jam. I mean, we're going to have more tiebreakers than the dodgeball finals versus between Average Joe's and Globo Gym, you know, when they were having to go by bylaws and sudden death when it comes to the SEC and seeding and that much. So I would say right now, I would put Alabama in as a 9 seed. And look, all you got to do is get in the tournament. But where Alabama's going to struggle is when they run into somebody with a big that gives them problems, because they're not going to get all the calls that they got the other night against Auburn and Walker Kessler. That NCAA tournament hits, and you run into a team like Purdue, who has one of the guys from Land of the Lost and Zach Edey, who's 7'4", and then Trevion Williams, who to me is the best big man passer and one of the most fluid guys. I'd love to put him at tight end or at left tackle. I mean, the dude would make millions and millions and millions of dollars. But those are the teams when it's like, here, just hold on. I'll fix it, guys. Let me get the rebound. Just put it, I'll fix it. Don't worry. That, if I was an Alabama fan when you got in the tournament, to me, that's what would scare me.
You know, the thought was that with Quinterly and Shackelford coming back with the addition of J.D. Davidson, that backcourt would be able to make up for some of their lack of size, right? And to make up for, like, Herb Jones leaving.
Up and down.
Some of those bad losses – some of those bad losses have proven that that wasn't necessarily the case. So I think Alabama will squeak in, but I think they're going to need some solid wins down the stretch, some wins against some of these really good SEC teams.
I agree. And again, like I said, you know, you've got to be able to take advantage of opportunities, and it starts tonight. I do think Alabama wins a close one tonight. Watch if Pinson doesn't play. If Pinson doesn't play, I think LSU is really going to struggle to score in that environment. And what, in my opinion, is as close to a must-win as you can get here as we're getting towards the end of January. But we appreciate you guys joining us. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Turn those notifications on as well. Got some more great content coming. We're showing you we're dual threat. You know, we're doing our Kyler Murray thing out here right now, doing a little college. There it is right there. We'll take it to Europe one time. But there it is, Cone. We know what position Cone's playing. He's definitely the center. If we're putting together a team, we definitely know that Cone's
don't
the five.
Put me down low. I want to drive the basketball.
You're a stretch five? Cone's a stretch five? Did somebody say trailer? Did I hear trailer?
Stretch me out. I'm not shooting any threes, though.
Okay. All right. So you're like a mid-stretch five. We'll work on it. We'll get out in the yard. But appreciate you guys joining us until tomorrow. And like Alabama's chances in big-time games as we get on through the season, we're going. Gone.
The Volume.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota bZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep.
You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.